Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Lift it up. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
A little bit more louder. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Bring it down. That's it. That's what we need. To stir up the air and bring down the Spirit of God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. I just wanted to ask everyone a simple question this morning. Is there anybody in here who enters the doors or let's say the presence of God without expectation in their heart? It's beautiful. Every one of us has an expectation in their heart. They come in here with some desire, something that they want, some expectation in their heart. And I pray that through this service, God will meet that expectation. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So just with that expectation comes, we all want the best for us, isn't it? We all want the best. When we say, we think of upgrades every year, every day, especially with the mobile phones. I now have S10, and within a few months, it came S20. I'm like, that's a huge shift from S10 to S20. And back in the day, when I was looking at my old phone that I used to have, I had these conversations with my family back home. I used to tell them, oh, Dad, this is just beautiful. It's got Snake, the game that I can play in it. And it's got torchlight behind it. And you know what? The backlit keyboard, the keys are lit, Dad. This is beautiful. And Dad said, that's incredible. And we think about this conversation today, I'm like, that's not incredible. That wasn't incredible at all. That was probably, I wouldn't say back in the day, the best, but compared to today, it's not the best. We have more to come. We have more to expect the best. And by saying so, God knows the best for us. And in fact, better than what we want for ourselves. Sometimes we go to God and say, God, I was praying one day, God, give me this car, which is like the Toyota, Lord. I love this car, and it's silver in color. It's got leather interior, whatnot. It's beautiful. But God wanted to give me a Ferrari. I was like, I didn't know that. If I had prayed, God, I need a car. You know what's best for me? And you know what's beautiful? You know what's the incredible? And I leave that to you, Lord. Give me the one. Bring your needs, necessities, and requirements to your God and let Him handle it. Don't tell God what to do, how to do. He knows it. He's been before the time. And one of the scientists who was saying, time, space, and matter. Isn't it? That's what science is all about. Do you agree? You're a student. Time, space, and matter, right? That is that combination of those three things is science. You're a science student, a PhD candidate. Nitya, isn't that right when I say science constitutes these three things, time, space, and matter? It's continuing. Let's take a look at the very first verse in Bible. The very first one. Can somebody read it out, please? I want this a little bit interactive.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
In the beginning. Beginning is time. God created the heaven is the space. The earth is the matter. Time, space, and matter were covered in the very first sentence of Bible. Now you talk to me about physics, you talk to me about geography, the things that man created for himself out of his knowledge. God is beyond that. God knows what is best for you. And when I'm saying that, sometimes I go back and put it this way in the analogy. And when I was working with my wife in the backyard, trying to dry our clothes. She's very strategic. And the way she dries these clothes is like, we got a ring of these wires. And the inner ring has the lightweight small clothes. Kerchiefs, hankies, lightweight small clothes. And the outer ring comes with a little bit bigger clothes. And the outer has these blankets. Because when the sun shines, it falls on the outer surface and it dries these heavy clothes which are in the outer way. If I change that sequence, what happens is it messes up a strategic move. Is everybody related to it? We all do it, right? No, we don't do it. I hope everybody is not using these dryers. Sometimes we go to the backyard and use these lines. They're there for a reason. Yeah, and natural. It is free. Exactly. And then what we do is we change that. It messes up somebody's strategy. And they're not happy about it. And we got to oblige. So what we now do is, in the events of God, along the timeline, 180, 280, 380, 400 is this timeline. And all these sequences, God hangs these to come and conclude and to accomplish, to manifest in people's lives. What we do, we want this one in here. We want this one in here. And then what happens is God's strategy is all messed up. God doesn't want that to happen. What God does, he persuades us. Jonah, don't go in that direction. I want you to go in this direction. But Jonah doesn't like it. He heads in a different direction. And Jonah tells these fishermen, or the boat, or the people inside the ship, throw me out. But they were not happy to do it. Oh, no, we don't think that is right to do. We don't want to kill you. So we want to row as hard as possible to save you. So what I'm trying to say is, what we want, put it to the God. Put forward all your petitions by prayer and thanksgiving and let him do it. When, how, this is a generation, I'm not criticizing anyone in here. This generation is like, we want it now, we want it now. There is no waiting upon it. The Bible says those who wait upon the Lord will fly and soar upon the wings of the eagle. They'll fly high. Wait for the time. The birds who are born, they just don't fly overnight. They wait for their time. Even Jesus said this. The first miracle, when Mary comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, they ran out of wine. And Jesus says, Mother, my time has not come yet. So Jesus knows what is ahead of time. Jesus knows what is hanging in the timeline there. Every sequence of events, Jesus is fully aware of it. And he says, wait upon it. Wait for the time to come. There is a season of plentiness. There is a season of dryness. There is a season of abundance. There will be a season of drought. There will be a season of everything will happen in its time. This is what I want to say. But yet, I've got, you also need to be prepared of asking God what you want. And tomorrow, or even now, as we walk home, if God appears, let's say, for example, Pastor John. God appears and says, Pastor John, I'm really happy with what you're doing, and I'm happy to give you one blessing for today. One. Anything. Only one. What do you want? We always have a list in the pocket. So I'm like, I'm going to pull this out. I'm going to strategize, read it all over again and again and again, and it's hard for me to pull one out of it. We want everything. So you need to know what you want as well. It's not bad to know what you want, but how you want, when you want, And you want it according to your terms and conditions is where the problem is. And when God is not meeting them, we are disappointed. We come back to God. Why my prayers are not working? I'm like, yes, I'm hearing all your prayers. You got to wait. Mercedes AMG is handmade. How many of us know that? Mercedes AMG doesn't fall out of a factory, out of these machineries. Majority of the engine components are made by hand. Exceptionally well. They can do a 0 to 100 in 3.2 seconds. Incredible speed. They've got biturbo, two turbos in it. And they propel the car in a very fast way. That the people inside the seats, if the seats were not there, they'd be falling out of the car and the car would go. Like, that's fast. It takes time. When you order an AMG, you wait. Are you ready to wait for the best that God's going to give? Or you're dictating your own terms and you want it right now, there and then? So those who are waiting, it's the good news for them. You will not be disappointed, because a God does not disappoint. Amen? Now, don't ask things that somebody else can take away. And I'm saying this, I want to share you a small joke, all right? This has got nothing to do with racism or anything as such. Just a joke, just an example. There was this American. God wants to line these people up. Want to bless them with the best. And first is from America. And the next is from Africa. The next is from Japan. And the next is from India, let's say, for example, from the country that I come from, India. Right? And God goes to America and says, what do you guys want? And the American says, beauty. Oh, these people are beautiful. They're gorgeous. Handsome, Miss Universe pigeons, Miss World titles, everything, America, 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 gone. Comes to Africa. He asks, physique, the best. They don't need to go to gym. They look like born six packs. They're all born gladiators. They're all born with six packs. I'm like, mine is family pack, don't look here. They have got six packs. So comes to Japan. Japan goes, brain. All the electronics, all the cars, Nissan, Toyota, Mazda, Honda, all gone to Japan. Incredible technology, robotic technology, robotic sciences. They're the best. Comes to India. Doesn't know what to ask. He thinks for a second. He goes, God, you know what? I'm not prepared. I don't know what to ask. But do this. Take all the things away from these people who have asked you before. And God takes away all these things they've asked before. So who knows who is praying what next to you? But at the end of the day, you also need to ask God that no man can steal. Eternal wisdom, eternal knowledge, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Amen. No man can steal. Even if I come and ask God, take all these things away, yes, possibly Satan can come and take it all away. Enemy can come and take it all away. But, you know, these gifts that God has given, God cannot take. He's not a man to do it. He's not working in a bank. That you don't pay the interest, he takes it away. It's all paid for. They're free. Let's take the scripture, Romans chapter 8, scripture. Romans chapter 8, 27. Can somebody read it out loud? 27 and 28. And it works really good in Message version of Bible. because it sums up all into one single sentence, and it summarizes the whole spirit of it. I'll read it out later. Romans chapter 8, verse 27. Yeah, if you can, that'll be even better. Yeah, he knows us far better than we know ourselves. Yeah? Something good. Isn't that amazing when Paul puts it into a single perspective, in a single dimension, in one word? He knows far better than what we want for ourselves. We want many things. We think we know. What we did is we, in Bistow, previously in Kensington, when it was operating in Kensington, what I've done is I've distributed white papers to everybody. And I've asked them to draw certain images. To one, I've asked them to draw a ship. To the other, I've asked them to draw a plane or a flight, airplane. The other one, I've asked them to draw a train, the other a bus, the other a car. We've all drawn all these things. And I said, exchange these papers, give it to somebody else. And they've all had these paper exchanges. When they had a look at it, I asked them, tell me what you see. And they could easily recognize, oh, Pastor, this is ship. Pastor, this is plane. Pastor, this is a train. This is bus. You see, how does this person imagine, perceive what he's seeing in front of him? Is because that is what he has seen and that is how he has imagined through the days of his life. He cannot imagine a flight with an engine compartment in the front, trying to pull it. And he cannot imagine a car with wings. And he also cannot imagine a train with four big tires. It wouldn't work. So the way we perceive things and the way we imagine things is confined. Is everybody relating to me? It's very confined. If you're going to be asked, what do you want? You would ask God according to your perception, your understanding, how you have seen things so far, the same structure. If a young man's been asked, I'll take an example again from India. If a young man like me is asked, sometime, I think back in the day, 15 years ago, when I came to Australia, somebody asked me, Ram, what is your plan? What do you want to do? Look, I'm about 25 years, maybe finish my studies in about 2 years, get married, have a child, and settle down in a good job and, probably look after my parents. It's nothing different, right? Do you understand where I'm coming from? What I've seen so far and what I've perceived so far is exactly what I've asked. I'm no different. Do you see, when I surrendered to my God, he added a little bit of spice in it. He mixed a little bit of oregano. And I started praising God. And when he started adding a little bit of green mirchi, I started doing Bible studies. And when he started adding a little bit more jeera and all these other spices, I started preaching. Amen. You surrender to God, my life is different now. What I wanted is totally different. My understanding, my perception has driven what I wanted. You all there with me or is it confusing? Is it understandable? So you see, when we're looking into ourselves and what we think is, God, I think this job is good for me. I'm going to settle this down. this job, and after that maybe buy a house, and you know, then plan for a second baby or things like that. But at the end of the day, your thoughts are not mine, is what God says. Your plans are not mine, God says, because those are yours. What I have for you, though, if I reveal to you, can you understand? Can you fathom? Can you comprehend? Because my plans are incredible. They're like this S20 smartphone which hasn't arrived in the market yet. It's got incredible features. 4 cameras. Maybe the next version will have the whole camera in the back. No more glass. You see, God's got different perception. God's got different understanding. God, he doesn't say, no, no, this is wrong, buddy. Don't come to me with what you want. He never said that. In fact, Paul puts it all in one summary. He says, you know, put forward all your petitions with prayers and thanksgiving. Isn't it? So, Bible encourages us to come. It is good for us to have a desire in our heart. Not bad. But ask that which is eternal. Not the one that the Indian says, all right, take it all away. And they all disappear. So beautiful part is when we looked at Jonah's situation as well, I came across a very beautiful scripture. Majority of the times, we skip it. But there is a reason why it is there. You know, just like every proposition, pronoun, noun, adjective, conjective, or sorry, there is no word such as conjective. All these words are placed in Bible for a reason, and is placed there for a reason. And Bible says, my people who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and turn away from that wickedness. Then I will heal their land. And. There is a reason why it's been placed in there. And this particular verse, which is placed in Bible, is there for a reason as well. Let's take a look at it. In fact, we can upgrade anything and everything except for wife and husband. Obviously, there is no option there. Jonah chapter 1, verse 11 to 13. Can we quickly take a look at it? Jonah chapter 1, verse 11 to 13. We all know Jonah's story. God wanted Jonah to go to Nineveh and to preach and proclaim and say, this is going to fall in 40 days. This city is going to fall apart in 40 days. This city is going to fall apart in 40 days. In 40 days, in 40 days. He keeps preaching every nook and corner. He keeps proclaiming this all over the city. But when God wanted him to go to Nineveh, what exactly was running in Jonah's mind? Jonah probably thought, this is actually going and preaching to ISIS, man. Me taking Bible and, you know, in front of all these commandos, the ISIS fighters with these super, you know, powerful guns and preaching to them the gospel right in front of their face. Nah, I can't do that. He ran away in the opposite direction. See? God had a plan. Jonah's plan was different. Jonah didn't like God's plan, and God wouldn't keep quiet. God is not the one who gives up. God persuades Jonah. Jonah, don't go there. I want you to be here. You know, Jonah is trying to shift the placement of those timelines in this events. You get that? Jonah was trying to do that, and God didn't like it. That's like, Jonah, don't do it. Jonah, don't do it. And let's take a look at this verse, Jonah chapter 1, verse 11 to 13. And somebody reading it? Me? Verse 13 explains a different perception again, a human perception. The perception of compassion, the perception of not killing one another. So these men were not comfortable in doing what Jonah asked them to do. They said, no, we're not going to do it. We don't pay much attention to that particular scripture, right? Has anyone read that scripture before? That they didn't want to throw Jonah out. We all skip it and go to the next event where Jonah is thrown into the sea. Now, this is a revelation there. There is a beautiful scripture that says, instead, the men did their best to row back to the land. They wanted to go backwards, the opposite direction. Pick me up and throw into the sea. Instead, the men, instead, see, there is a word called instead that changes the plan. Instead. God wants to give us a key to a new house which has got only single level and only two rooms and not big deal. It's a small house. And what we do is, God, no. I wanted a big backyard. I wanted this two-story, five-bedroom with a master theater in it, all this beautiful jazz that I can't, vacuum for nearly 2-3 days. Even if I have a Dyson, it'll break down. And that's the big house that I want. And sometimes I feel like, which room did I leave my last clothes last time I wore? 2 days down the track, the man's ankle is broken. He can't do all this. He can't go up and down. No townhouse, no duplex. God knows what is best for you, buddies. He knows what exactly you need. He knows it because you don't see the events in the timeline ahead of you. But God knows the events in the timeline ahead of us. Learn how to look beyond the horizon. Ask God to reveal it. He would. God, what's the reason? Why don't you give me the keys to that house, that mansion in front of my house? Why did I have to settle down with this mediocre two-bedroom? There you go. You had your answer. Your ankle's broken, buddy. Get back on your feet first. And when you are able to pull that vacuum cleaner, let me know. I'll give you the keys to the mansion in the front. Once my friend, when he was traveling in the train, Sasi Kumar Vijay Kumar is his name, Sasi. We call him Sasi. We all know him. And he had a word from God which said, Sasi, change your pen. That's it. That created a storm within him. Why do I have to change my pen? Am I going to sign something that is not good for me? Am I going to, pen down something that is not from you, God? Why do I have to change this pen? And by the time he entered the church, he was having a massive headache. He was sitting in the front, and as the pastor started preaching, he put his pen down on the paper and there was no ink in it. He says, overanalyzing stuff. Just do what God wants you to do. He knows what is best for you, better than what you know what you want. That's it. The whole thing behind it is that we ask according to our perception. Our mindset cannot imagine a ship with four wheels on it. Our mindset, our perception is such a way that we cannot imagine the train with wings. After 80, it starts taking off. You see, our perception and our understanding is according to what we have seen so far, according to what we have known so far. We cannot imagine a human being with four legs. They are meant to have only two. That's it. Our perception, our understanding. That is where I'm coming from. And what we ask is according to that limited knowledge and limited understanding. But when you leave it to God, it is beyond your comprehension. I never thought that I had courage enough to speak to this congregation, and these many members at least. My hands back in the day would shiver just to speak to my professor face to face when I was doing uni. I tremble. But that's the word that I wanted to say. But. I did. I think I did the assignment yesterday. I'd be very nervous. Where I stand today is a different thing. You leave your life into God's hand. His hands are perfect in creation. He'll create a beautiful shape. If he could create a beautiful form and a shape out of the formless piece of mud, then God asked Jeremiah, can I not do this with my children? Don't you think I can't do this with my children in Israel? If a potter can pick up a formless piece of mud and give it a beautiful shape, a useful shape, by the way, a vessel that is going to be useful, not to be put into a library or not to be put into a museum, but useful on day-to-day basis, Jeremiah, don't you think that me being a God, can I not do this to my children who bring their mess and hand over to me? Isn't that beautiful? God is more than capable and more than able beyond our comprehension. Amen? That is just amazing when we're looking into the verses, especially the purpose was to proclaim. Jonah began going a day's journey into the city. In chapter 3, verse 4, it says, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. He's been proclaiming this for all the days there. And when it didn't come to pass, Jonah was disappointed. In fact, what God was working is an upgrade. Upgrade from Jonah's mode of transport in the ship to the mouth of whale. You see, Jonah didn't see that. I didn't see that. But today when I see, oh, what a beautiful upgrade it is. Jonah gets a huge seat. I mean, the whole place for himself. No more things to share. And he wouldn't feel anything. The whale goes this way, the whale goes this way, but he's all happy. You see, when God asks you to do something, don't question it. And God asked him to go Nineveh, he went in the other direction. And Jonah asked these people to throw him overboard. They said, no, we want in different direction. Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not. If you try and change the sequence of events in the timeline that God has placed over your head, trust me, that's not going to happen. You can't do that. You won't let that happen. They are determined, they are destined for a reason. What you ought to do is find what his will is. And by inviting the Holy Spirit, he would reveal to you what is there in the Father's heart. Because he is the only medium through which we might know what is there in the Father's heart. And there, we will have our answers. One day, a young gentleman was speaking to God. He was saying, God, I had a very, 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 very bad day. I can't explain to you how I feel like. I feel pretty terrible. God says, okay, talk to me. I'm listening. What happened? And he says, I woke up late, first things first. And my car took forever to start. Third world problems. Wrong sandwich. We're talking first world problems. Phone died. The young generational problems. Foot massager didn't work in the night. I mean, Jesus. God's like, okay. What was the first one? And he said, I woke up late. And God said, there was a death angel standing right at your doorstep. I had to send my angel to fight it. And through that battle, I let you sleep. And he goes, okay, I didn't see that coming. All right, I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry. I agree. Then what was the next buddy? He says, car took forever to start. Yes, there was a drunk driver on the way en route the place where you were going to drive. So I delayed your car start, buddy, so the driver could pass away. Good. Goes, God, I understand now. I'm sorry about that too. Then he goes, wrong sandwich. Buddy, You're talking about the wrong sandwich. The person who prepared the correct sandwich was sick. You wouldn't want to eat that. You wouldn't want to get that cold, flu, and whatnot. Coronavirus, yeah. You didn't want to get that. So I avoided it. I made a good sandwich. Albeit, yeah, the wrong sandwich, but you got something to eat, right? I goes, yeah, I get it now. And then what? Phone died. And the person who was going to speak to you was about to give a false testimony in the court. I didn't let you speak at all. So I killed the phone. Oh, I say, sir, I didn't think that coming through. I thought all of my friends. I didn't know this guy was different. Okay, then what? Foot massager. Foot massager had a short circuit in it. If you had put your feet in there, you probably would have lost it. Forget about massage. Never again massage. So I saved you, buddy. And he goes like, unless we know what is next in the events of timeline, what I mean to say, church, you cannot understand what is good, what is bad. Don't say this is bad. How do you define bad? This guy's perception was all these things were bad, but in God's understanding, all these things meant to be doing good for him. All these things are meant to be doing good. Now take chapter 8, verse 28. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. The one that we just read. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. With this we will finish. And I have taken a little bit longer time. I do apologize, Pastor. As long as you're all being inside the wavelength, traveling together. Chapter 8, verse 28, please. That makes sense. It makes sense now. A lot of it. When you go out there, you don't get what you want. Trust in God. That's not good for you. Yeah, you wouldn't give a knife to a small baby to go and play around, right? You know that it's not good for him. As simple as that. God knows what is better for you. God knows what is good for us. And he knows better than all of us. And for Jonah, when his expectation was not met, check this. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. God works for the good of those who love him. God doesn't work against you. God works for the good. He's loving, he's caring, he's affectionate. In fact, he's so caring that he gave his one and only son to be beaten, to be bruised, to be put to shame, to be whipped, and to be stripped, and to be hung, and to be pierced, to be crowned with a crown of thorns. For who? Bible says, all this happened while we were still sinners. Bible says this. All of this happened while we are still sinners. So if somebody thinks that I haven't received something that I wanted yesterday, trust me, God's got a better thing for you. Amen. Yeah? Amen. You are probably praying for a Toyota, or Mazda, or God's got the keys, man. God's got the keys. Wait until you hear the roar. Yeah? The parking roar. Roar. Like, God, that's my car there. I came in. Ah, it came finally. You'd be excited on the day when God gives you what you want. It'll be beyond your comprehension. It'll be beyond your imagination. It will be beyond what you could understand and ask for. God gives me another life and says an alternate timeline. Have you all watched Avengers Endgame? Avengers Endgame, it's like a movie. The multiple timelines. Things could happen this way, things could happen this way, things could happen this way. If my way, things could happen again, I'd ask God, I want to preach again. Because that's what my calling is and that's what God's blessed me with. Find out what your calling is and ask God to bless it. And to find that out, there is no other medium except for Holy Spirit. You got to pray, buddies. You got to pray. You got to pray and ask Holy Spirit, you reveal what's there in the Father's heart to me. And I'll pray accordingly. And there is beauty in it. There is joy in it. There is fulfillment in it. There is satisfaction. God works from prophecy to fulfillment. God doesn't prophesy and just leave it there. God works towards the fulfillment. And I believe this year, this season, is a season of fulfillment for everybody in here. What you've been waiting for, they will be answered. What you've been asking for, they will be given. Where you have been knocking all your life, they will be opened. My God is listening. My God is at work. My God is able. My God is capable. My God is about to give everything what you have always wanted. He's going to make your life a testimony to others. And glorify him. Don't take that credit on the day when you receive the keys for the Lamborghini. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, church. Bless you all.